I think that sometimes we realize that shame is such a powerful force that you can manipulate people to do what you want them to do if they feel shame enough to do it.
This is Straight Talk.
My name is Mark Jobe. This program is Straight Talk. Welcome to our broadcast. You know, once in a while I get emails from listeners that indicate how their life has been touched by listening to this broadcast. And I'm so grateful that you let us know. It's really encouraging for me to hear from you directly. And I realize that many people are going through challenges. And especially today, as I was thinking about this broadcast, for some reason had on my heart those of you that are married women that are struggling with your marriage, and especially struggling with husbands that aren't as committed to follow Jesus Christ as you are. And I have had many counseling sessions. My wife Dee and I have prayed for many people over the years that have been in some difficult times. And I want to encourage you, if you are married right now to a man that is not following Christ and is not stepping up to the plate and seems to be giving you a tough time and doesn't share a common value with you, the best words of encouragement I could give you right now is persevere. God is in control. It may not look like He is on the verge of changing now, but I have seen over and over so many marriages turn around because one of the spouses stays faithful to God, perseveres, does not get discouraged, allows the blessing of God's presence to splash over to the next person. So keep yourself healthy, body, soul, and spirit. Remember that your marriage, whether you're married to a non-believer or not, your marriage is still sacred before the eyes of God. And the fact that you're married to that husband of yours, Scripture says that your marriage, because of your faith, he is sanctified. That doesn't mean he's saved, but it means God has a special, God has set him apart in a special way because he's married to you. And your children, they're also set apart in a special way because of your faith. So I want to encourage you to persevere, encourage you to be filled with the Spirit because your challenge is great. Encourage you to seek a double portion of God's grace for this season of your life while you need to minister to your family and children as a Christian married woman. I want to challenge you to seek that grace from God and not to give up. Persevere. May God bless you. Let's get ready to hear the word.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. Hi, everyone. We continue on with Pastor Mark's series called Emotional Intelligence today with his final message called Unmasking Shame. We're in the book of Genesis chapter 3. Here's Pastor Mark with today's Straight Talk.
Well, over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about emotional intelligence. And so far, we started out by talking about what it meant to tame our anger. Oh, that was a big one. Big one. Some of you are saying, Pastor, I'm still trying to apply that one. The following week, we talked about exchanging envy. Then we talked about overcoming fear. We talked about dealing with disappointment. Boy, I think that hit a big nerve. I've gotten just a lot of emails and Facebooks and different people talking about that and how important it was for them to hear what it means to deal with disappointment. And today we're going to be talking about unmasking shame. Unmasking shame. Now, I think that this is one of the most important messages in this entire series. Because my experience tells me that there is such a big issue with shame. Now, we've all experienced shame at one time or another, haven't we? I mean, everybody has gone through times of I'm not talking about embarrassment because, you know, there's a difference between shame and embarrassment, right? Embarrassment is when there's something that you do that just, you're like, oh, why'd I do that? People are looking at me and you get a little bit embarrassed. Some of you, I had a friend whose ears turned really red every time he was embarrassed. So I knew as soon as he was getting embarrassed, his ears would start turning really red. Someone else I know gets like blotches on their neck. You know, I know they're getting embarrassed because they're getting blotches on their neck. And haven't we all kind of done dumb things that cause us to be a little bit embarrassed at the time? I mean, I know I've done my share of things that have embarrassed me. My dad was hard to embarrass, but I remember one time that he got embarrassed. He had been asked to speak at this place, and after the speaking engagement, he was sitting around talking to some ladies that were there, and there were three ladies. Two of them were pregnant, and they were talking about their pregnancy, and the other one looked a little pregnant. And he says, hey, so here we are, the gathering of all the three pregnant ladies. So when are each of you due? And they kind of looked at each other and say, I'm due this time, I'm due. And the other one said, I'm not pregnant. She just had a little belly she's working on. And, oh, man, those are the times when you want to kind of backpedal and you wish you could save those words again and get out. But those are embarrassing moments. But shame, well, shame is much deeper than embarrassment. Shame deals at the core of who we are. It affects our worth, our value. Shame is really about things that we know are a part of us, part of our past, part of our present, that we don't want other people to know about because we are embarrassed that they are either a part of our past or a part of our present. And they're just sort of this dark place in our life that we don't want anybody to know about because we feel that if they do, it will devalue how they see us. That's called shame. I brought a symbol of shame. And I look at shame a little bit like this, what I have in my hand, this sort of black bucket that I have in my hand. And inside of this black bucket are envelopes. Sealed envelopes that represent, well, it may be something that happened when you were young. It may be something that's going on right now. It may be something that someone did to you in the past, but this is our bucket of shame, so to speak. We don't really advertise that it's there. When we meet people, it's not out in front of us like this. It's way behind us somewhere. We hide it. We protect it. We don't talk about it. We act like it doesn't exist. But it's really there. It's shame. Someone has described shame. Well, one dictionary definition describes shame like this. A feeling which follows when a person realizes that there has been failure to live up to ideal expectation. I started thinking about how shame gets into our life. I think there's a lot of doors that open areas of shame. For example, I think that sometimes we realize that shame is such a powerful force that you can manipulate people to do what you want them to do if they feel shame enough to do it. Sometimes parents revert to using shame. You may get angry at a child that doesn't obey, and so in front of everybody, you just slap them on the face. And it's not as much the pain of the slap, but it's the shame of other people seeing it. I remember one guy telling me that his father felt that he was so unruly that he had just had it, and so he took him on the, this was a few years back when you wouldn't be arrested for this, he took him on the front porch, he made him take down his pants, and in front of the neighborhood, kind of on the front porch, just spanked him right there. Now, it wasn't the spank that hurt them, it was the shame of everybody seeing it. You see, that's shame. the door of shame. I believe there's doors of shame that open up if someone becomes sexually active when they're younger, for example, in the teenage years, and they get involved, and in their mind they know, I shouldn't, this is wrong, and I've crossed lines that I shouldn't cross, and so they drag that into their adult years, that sense of guilt and that sense of shame that's there, and they allow that to create a stronghold in their life. There is shame that can come as an adult if sometimes there's shame associated with a hurt or difficult or nasty divorce, or there's shame that's associated with failure or bankruptcy, or sometimes it's things that have been done to us like rape or incest or sexual abuse. There's shame associated with those things. Areas that we don't want anybody to know about, don't like to talk about, but it really affects how we are, who we are. Sometimes there's shame associated with abandonment. Maybe you were abandoned as a child and maybe never really knew your father or mother, and there's shame associated with that. I want to talk to you today about it because I believe that so many people really struggle with it, and it affects us deeply in how we view life and how we view God and how we relate to one another. So in Genesis chapter 2, I'm going to begin reading in verse 25, and then we're going to spend most of our time in the first few verses of Genesis. And I want to talk to you today about unmasking shame in your life and what you need to understand to start unmasking shame, taking the power away from shame. Here's what I know, that if you have an issue of shame right now in your life that is undealt with, I know that if you're married, it affects your marriage and your openness, transparency, and vulnerability. I know that if you have an area of shame right now, it affects your walk with God, how you worship God, and how you think that God sees you. I know right now that if you have an area of shame in your life right now, that it affects the way you relate to others, or how you open up to others, or don't open up to others.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Unmasking Shame, which is from our series called Emotional Intelligence. Stay tuned to learn how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, with his message called Unmasking Shame.
It affects all of those areas. So, if you go back to the very beginning, Genesis is called the book of beginnings. And you go to chapter 2, this is where God has already created man and woman. He's created the earth. There's this idyllic paradise. There's fruit that's hanging off the tree. There's all kinds of animals, a big petting zoo. And Adam has a naked woman in the garden with him. I mean, he's like, yeah, this is paradise. He has open communion with God. There's no sickness, there's no disease, there's no pollution, there's no anger, there's no lying, there's no violence. I mean, this is the world that God created for Adam and Eve to dwell in. And you hear this verse read a lot at marriages. I've read it a lot when I marry people because it's the first really description of what marriage should be like in Scripture. And it says that when God brought the woman to man, man said, now this is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. Verse 24, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Now listen to this. Verse 25. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. This was before shame existed. They didn't even know what shame felt like. And it's not just talking about physical nakedness. It was this sense that spiritually, emotionally, relationally, and physically, they had nothing to hide from each other. There was no secrets. There was no areas that they were embarrassed about in their life. There was no ugly parts of their life that they were trying to hide. There was this open, vulnerable transparency with God and with each other, and the world existed without shame. And here's what I want you to understand, that God never created you to live on an ongoing basis with the weight of shame in your life. So if you're taking notes this morning, write this down. Here's the first thing I want you to understand about unmasking shame. Number one, we were never designed to live with the weight of ongoing shame in our lives. You were never designed for that. So here's what happens. When you're not created for something, but yet you take on that something, inevitably you break down. If you have a small frame and you're 400 pounds, you were never created to carry that much weight around, so there's all kinds of breakdown that's going to happen physically in you. If you have a car and you overload it too much and it wasn't designed to carry that much weight, then the suspension goes, it affects everything about it, because it may carry it for a little bit, but it was never designed to go a long time that way. Are you tracking with me? So if God designed you a certain way and he designed you not to carry shame, then when you carry shame for a long time, you start breaking down, because God never designed you to live with ongoing shame for long periods of time. So this is what shame does to our life when we start carrying it for a while. I've noticed that there's three primary effects on our life. One, shame hits at the heart of our worth and dignity. Shame is not just about what we've done. It's about who we are. It's about our worth. It's about our value. If there are areas of shame in your life, it affects how you see yourself. It will speak into who you marry and who you date. It will speak into how you worship God. Because if you constantly feel shame when you come to worship God and have a relationship with God, it will affect that. It will affect how you open up to other people around you, how you receive them, how you relate to them. It affects really every area of our life, because shame hits at the core of who we are, our worth and our value. Secondly, shame produces emotional pain. When a person is shamed, his or her emotions are damaged. There's pain inside. You cannot be shamed without experiencing pain. I'll never forget years ago talking to a friend, and he was a successful businessman. He had climbed the ladder of business. He succeeded at pretty much every business he was in, top sales representative and so forth. But he felt a real vacuum in his heart, and I had helped lead him to Christ and disciple him. And I'll never forget, he told me, he said, "You know what? I've been successful at what I've done, but inside I always feel somewhat like a failure." I said, "Why is that?" And he said to me, he said, "I grew up with a stepfather, and my stepfather was extremely abusive, extremely degrading, abusive, put me down, called me names, never felt like I could really measure up to him." He said, "In fact, I remember one time when I accidentally spilled something on the floor, and I was in junior high. And he became enraged. And he made me get on my fort, on my hands and knees. And he made me lick up the food that had fallen off on the floor. And while he yelled at me and made me lick it up like a dog, he said, I was so humiliated. He says, here I am, a grown man. And every time I feel like I'm not quite measuring up, I still see his face yelling at me and saying, you are nothing. You're a failure. He says, I'm a grown man, successful, but I can't get that image out of my face when I struggle. You know what that is? That is the pain of shame. The pain of shame. And shame brings pain to our life because it's such a powerful emotion that hits at the very worth of who we are. The third thing about shame is that shame makes us want to hide or escape from the pain. None of us like pain. God created us sort of to not want to experience pain. Now, pain has a purpose in our life. But when that pain comes to our life, we try to escape it. We try to run from it. We oftentimes handle it by either by hiding from it or escaping from it. And so oftentimes shame causes us to hide or causes us to escape. And you will see that over and over. We hide it from people. We try to escape from the pain, and there's a lot of different ways that we can escape from the pain that's in our life, but it is part of the process. So ultimately, here's what I want you to know. If you are living with shame right now in your life, ongoing shame in your life, God, it is not God's purpose and plan that you live with shame. God never intended you to live with ongoing shame in your life, and if you are living with shame right now, it is breaking you down. Secondly, look at chapter 3. This idyllic paradise came to a crashing halt. They'd been given everything, but suddenly, I don't know, there's something about us that even though we've been given everything, we want a little bit more. And there's something about us that it enters the serpent. The Bible says that Eve was lured and deceived into violating God's command, and God said, don't eat, you can't eat from this tree, you can eat from any other tree. All of this is yours, not this. But she was lured in by the deceit of the serpent, and she took of a fruit. Now, we often call it the apple, but the Bible doesn't say it was an apple. Could have been a banana, I don't know. A mango. Then we'd have to call this not the Adam's apple, but Adam's banana, I guess, or I don't know. It would change a lot of things around. All we know, it was fruit, but we don't know it was an apple. It was just, she took of the fruit. Suddenly, something dramatically changed. Remember, up until this time, there was no shame. There was not the existence of shame in the world. Look what it says in I'll begin reading in verse 6. It says, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eyes and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave it to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and the woman heard the sound of the Lord God, as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. So I want you to realize this. Write this down if you're taking notes. The second point is our failures and other people's flaws give shame leverage in our life. There is no shame until there's failure. There is no shame until there's brokenness. There's no shame until there's something that we consider ugly inside of us that needs to be hidden. And as soon as sin came into the world and perfection was broken, shame ushered in.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church in Chicago, and this is the first half of his message called Unmasking Shame. It's from our Emotional Intelligence series. Please do join us again tomorrow for the second half. As I mentioned earlier, if you'd like to have a copy of this message, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's Pastor Mark Jobe, JOBE.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you in your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. We also invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 25 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago, and you can check us out at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We'd love to meet you. And please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that you've enjoyed this broadcast, and we thank you for joining us. Please do listen in to the next Straight Talk. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and the Straight Talk team, we appreciate your listenership. Have a great evening, and God bless.